Some very welcome rains hitting parts of the Dakotas, Nebraska, and now it moves eastward. You're listening to the American Ag Network. Good afternoon. I'm Susan Littlefield. Sam Hudson joining us today with Corn Belt Marketing. And the rains, I don't know if they've reached you as of yet, but definitely welcome, especially for some of these dryland crops.
That's right. And they're trying to make it to us. It seems like at least today they're trying to fall apart as they cross the Mississippi River, but we're not going to be in any major need of water here. We got anywhere between an inch and 2 to 2.5 inches across the area from last week and over the past week. And now there are some, areas within that more or less missed it. And I think those are the, risks here moving forward over the next, week or 10 days. NOAA's maps continue to boast, normal to above normal temperatures. So anyone who did miss it could be seeing a little bit of stress, but I don't know if there's enough out there, Susan, to really build any risk premium. And I think that's what markets are reflecting. There's not a lot else to talk about. Some of these geopolitical situations have kind of been tamped down. They're still, working in the background. We still are dealing with some inflationary tailwinds and strong demand. But as long as there's a perception that these crops can continue to keep up with that demand, it's going to be hard to see a large flat price rally until or unless we get into harvest and find something that isn't there.
Yeah, and you look at the fact that, corn and beans just kind of holding on to the losses that they had yesterday. But it seems like the wheat market is playing maybe a little bit of the geopolitic game as they see the war increasing between Ukraine and Russia, knowing that they're the breadbasket for wheat.
That's right. And we've taken the edge off here in the last week and a half or so after some of that, initially kind of reared its head. But it's going to be hard to really sell that market down until it's all solved. And I don't know if anything like that can take place until you get closer to or even beyond midterms. I think, unfortunately, that's, one of the things to keep an eye on here, both with Iran and the Black Sea situation. And, in the meantime, I think you just kind of see a choppy market here all the way around with, that outside money flow providing, some undertones along the way.
I was going to ask, is this going to be the ride we're going to be on for the next week or so before we start to see some southern harvest getting underway?
Well, it sure feels like it. You're going to have not only southern harvest, but you're going to have some crop tours, underway. We talk a lot about condition ratings. I'm kind of, one of those in the camp that doesn't put a lot of weight in them because they don't have any correlation with final yields. It all gets window dressed at the end of the year. But when you get this far along, sometimes you can take some of those, boots on the ground observations, take a look at those ratings and just see what matches up and what doesn't, where are the gaps at. And unfortunately, I just don't think, especially with the forecast you have out here, that even if you have an opinion on yield, I don't know if it can be strong enough to really suggest that numbers have to go up or down in a big way. And that just keeps the market kind of in this content stance.
Do we see the market starting to prep? We're a week out from another WASDE information. Do we see some prepping starting to fill into the trade?
I think so. And that's part of the reason why I think you would expect that choppiness to continue, at least some sort of stability, because we have to expect that, demand gets bumped again next week. Now, on its own, it's not going to be enough to change the balance sheet or the look there. Obviously, we'll see if USDA wants to make any inclination, guesses on yield. To me, it just seems too early to even, attempt that at this point. And so that probably leaves me thinking that you're going to have to, maybe see the demand bumps in August, September, but probably got to wait till you get into the September, some of those early readings and early harvest that you're talking about to really, develop more of an opinion.
Well, before we jump to livestock, just out of curiosity, how are things looking in the Eastern Corn Belt as you look around your area?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. We, got off to a tough, kind of a cool wet start. The month of May was just very cold. So the third week of planted corn, I think it had the best, germination, best vigor out there. I think what we've noticed, though, is with all of the torrential rains we saw in June and then the heat in July, I don't think the heat on its own in July was a big factor, but after all that wetness and the cold start, I think it amplified some of those problems. So I don't think we're looking at the same crop we had out here last year. Certainly not a disaster. I think you're going to have maybe 10% of the corn crop around here that could be as good, maybe even better than last year, but everything around it, in my opinion, is probably going to be 10% or more, worse simply because of that variation and some of the holes in the field that we simply haven't dealt with over the last 2 or 3 years because it's been predominantly dry.
And finally, Cargill, they had the vote with the Teamsters. It did not pass. So Fort Morgan continues to stay closed as it's been since May. Is the cattle market really care at this point?
It does and it doesn't, right? I mean, I think, we saw these headlines take things back down again, middle to late July. We've done a nice job kind of building a base and kind of throwing in the face of that. But the market, didn't seem like it was quite ready to really continue higher until you saw some sort of proof. And now I think you've, traded cash for long enough now and starting to look at this August convergence that needs to take place. And it kind of provides that, path of least resistance for higher now. You're still going to have this concern in the background. I think about the border. To me, I'm surprised they're even pushing for this before the fourth quarter. You know, you'd think that they would want to wait till some cooler temperature could set in before they really start to make that endeavor. But the numbers of it don't probably support, you know, breaking the market too hard anyway. So we just got this double-edged sword the whole way where, you know, demand is trying to hang in there and it's good for the amount that we have. But, you know, how long can it hang in there, especially when you continue to see these elevated fuel costs all the way throughout summer and now into, you know, into the third and fourth quarter.
And not to mention, Sam, the demand concerns that are, you know, waving back and forth on the hog side of it, too. We really thought at this point they really would have stepped in to fill.
Yeah, and it seems like they've made a few attempts. You know, the market seems to forget how quickly that can reload there on the supply side just with gestational periods. You know, we saw a big break there again when they talked about opening the border. And I think you see a kind of another story here where it tries to build a base and then recover again. I just think as we continue to see those elevated cash, you know, products and the beef side of things, I think the pork and poultry will continue to see these breaths of life. But I don't think it'll be evergreen necessarily.
All right, Sam Hudson joining us today to look at the markets. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. That's the Wednesday market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.